Davis Arts Council presents E.T.A. Hoffman's The Nutcracker, adapted by Emilio Casillas, sponsored by Layton City Ramp. Chapter 1, Christmas Eve. It had been snowing all day, and from her window, Marie Stahlbaum watched snowflakes swirl like dancers in the bright beams of the street lamps. Luckily, Marie thought, the Christmas tree has already been delivered. The gifts had all been wrapped and a delicious meal prepared for their Christmas Eve party. But how would the guests ever get there through such a storm? And what of old Godfather Drosselmeyer? Christmas would not be Christmas without him. Such a strange, ingenious old man. He was tall, but stooping, with a big black patch over his right eye. But no one could tell such exciting stories or give such fantastic gifts. Each Christmas, Papa Drosselmeyer made a beautiful clockwork toy for Marie and Fritz. A castle with knights who rode up to the gates to be welcomed by a princess. A village where shopkeepers peddled their candies and toys to the children. Each so delicate and precious that Father placed them on the very top shelf of the glass cabinet for safekeeping. Marie opened the window and the icy white powder rushed up into her face. But as she leaned out, she could see people with lanterns bundled against the cold coming down the street toward her house. Soon she and Fritz and the other children would be led into the big room where the Christmas presents had been hidden, and the wonderful Christmas party would begin. As the clock struck 7, ding, dong, ding, dong, the doors to the big room flew wide open and a dazzling light spilled through. A tall fir tree stood covered with gold and silver candied apples, its branches dripping with sugared almonds and marzipan cakes, 100 candles glittering in the branches. All around the tree, gorgeous presents sat waiting for the children, but most prominent was Drosselmeyer's gift. Sitting on the table was a park of rolling green hills, a shining lake with beautiful white swans, and a little girl kneeling to feed them. Marie imagined them being fed marzipan. The children were transfixed, but soon found themselves drawn to the other treasures in the room. Marie found beautiful dolls with their tiny furniture and frilly clothes, and, to Marie's amazement, a new silk dress in just her size. Fritz, meanwhile, having ridden his stick horse around the tree, was inspecting his new troops. A squadron of cavalry and a regiment of riflemen arranged rank and file on the table. Marie then noticed a strange little wooden man standing by himself in a corner. He was well-dressed in a purple velvet coat with white buttons and braids across his broad chest, but his tiny, skinny legs were out of proportion, and his head likewise seemed much too big. But in his eyes, Marie saw nothing but friendship and kindness.
"Godfather, whose dear little gentleman is this?" she asked.
"Why, he belongs to the whole family."
"Let me show you what he can do."
Papa Drosselmeyer took the little man, lifted his wooden cape, which opened his mouth, and he instructed Marie to place a hazelnut between the doll's teeth. Then, in one swift motion, crack! The little man chomped down, shattering the shell, and leaving the delicious nut in Marie's hand.
"He's a nutcracker," declared Godfather Drosselmeyer.
Chapter 2, The Battle. Marie put the nutcracker skills to good use until Fritz demanded his turn. The nutcracker did, after all, belong to the whole family. Fritz made the nutcracker shatter the largest, hardest nuts until crunch! The industrious doll's jaw came unhinged and several of his teeth fell out. Drosselmeyer bandaged the Nutcracker as best he could, and Father forbade Fritz from using him again. But Marie was heartbroken at the plight of her dear little gentleman. Many hours later, after Marie and Fritz had arranged their new toys on the lower shelves of the glass cabinet, Marie sat alone in the big room, past her bedtime, cradling her beloved Nutcracker. Marie's dolls happily gave up their bed to the injured Nutcracker, and as Marie tucked the Nutcracker beneath the tiny blankets,
she found herself growing sleepy.
Just as she carried herself up to bed, Marie heard a quiet scratching and squeaking. When she turned, she saw 1,000 little candles flickering through the cracks in the floorboards. As she got closer, she realized, no, those aren't candles. They're the tiny sparkling eyes of 1,000 mice. And they weren't just under the floorboards. They were under the furniture and in the shadows, swarming masses of mice. Suddenly, a floorboard in the middle of the room splintered and out leapt a giant mouse with 7 heads, each wearing a golden crown. He startled Marie, and she tumbled backwards into the glass cabinet and shattered one of the shelves, scattering glass and Fritz's soldiers across the floor. Before Marie could attend to the sharp pain in her arm, a small, proud voice shouted from the cabinet, "Wake up! Wake up! To battle!" The Nutcracker had leapt from the bed. "You, my dear friends, will you join me in this fight against the wicked Mouse King?" Injured though he was, the Nutcracker jumped from his shelf and his troops gathered at his sides. Fritz's infantry formed at the center, cavalry at the flanks, while the artillery moved to the edge of their shelves. Even Marie's dolls and toys, none fit for battle, lined up loyally behind the Nutcracker while a drummer beat an urgent rhythm. Boom, boom, boom. The Mouse King screeched and hordes of ferocious mice fell upon the Nutcracker's valiant ranks. The soldiers held their ground, bolstered by the other toys at their back, while the artillery rained down from the cabinet. The cavalry crashed into the enemy, but the waves of mice began to overwhelm the toy soldiers. At the base of the cabinet, the Nutcracker and his remaining troops made their last stand against the Mouse King and his army. This whole time, Marie could only watch, frozen in terror. But seeing her dear Nutcracker battling for his life was more than she could bear. Just as the great Mouse King raised his wicked sword over the Nutcracker, Marie hurled her slipper across the room, and her aim was true. The Mouse King was sent tumbling back into the hole in the floorboards, the hordes of mice retreating after their leader. But the pain in her injured arm was more than Marie could bear, and she collapsed to the floor, the big room darkening around her. Chapter 3, Victory. The first thing Marie felt as she awoke was the pain in her arm. The first thing she saw was Mother's anxious face. "Has the wicked Mouse King been defeated? Has Nutcracker been saved?" asked Marie. "Don't talk such nonsense, Marie," her mother responded. "You must have had a silly dream." Mother had discovered poor Marie unconscious amid the shards of glass and toy soldiers, missing a slipper and bleeding from a deep cut on her arm, which had needed stitches. "But Mother," Marie insisted, "there was a great battle between the evil Mouse King and the valiant Nutcracker. We scared him off, but he'll be back." "Hush," scolded her mother. "Enough of these fantasies." The cut on Marie's arm had caused a fever, so the doctor ordered medicine and rest. And rest she did, for days. Godfather Drosselmeyer came to visit Marie to lift her spirits, and Marie recounted the harrowing tale of the battle and how she feared for her injured Nutcracker, whom she hadn't seen since Christmas Eve. Drosselmeyer smiled, reached into his pocket, and revealed the Nutcracker, good as new.
"Oh, Godfather, you've saved him!"
cried Marie, clutching her dear Nutcracker tightly.
Thank you, Papa Drosselmeyer, thank you.
That night, Marie slept anxiously. Her beloved Nutcracker had been healed by her godfather, but she feared for his safety should the ferocious Mouse King return. Sure enough, Marie woke in the middle of the night to a bizarre racket coming from downstairs. The sounds grew louder, roaring and clanging and crashing. Marie leapt out of bed in fright. Then, suddenly, it stopped. There was silence in the Stahlbaum house. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. Marie didn't move a muscle. Tap, tap, tap. She was frozen in fear, for surely the Mouse King had at last come for her. You have nothing to fear, Demoiselle Stahlbaum. I have joyous news to share. Marie could recognize her hero's voice anywhere, and she slowly opened the door to see Nutcracker standing in the hallway, sword in hand. Marie knew it was him, but he didn't look the same. His skinny legs and large head were gone, replaced by a handsome young man that Marie recognized at once. It was Godfather Drosselmeyer's nephew. Marie decided instantly that he had been the Nutcracker all along, a young prince cursed until he was able to defeat the Mouse King and earn the love of a princess. Marie knew this from the many stories that her godfather had told her. It made perfect sense. She was the princess who loved the Nutcracker prince, and with the Mouse King defeated, the curse had been broken. Kneeling before Marie, the young prince bowed his head. I present to you the 7 golden crowns of the defeated Mouse King. Marie accepted the crowns and placed them in her jewelry box for safekeeping. Nutcracker continued, Marie, your tender care and affection have saved me. If it hadn't been for you, I would not have survived the great battle on Christmas Eve, or had the strength to defeat the Mouse King tonight. Let me take you to the Kingdom of Toys, where I can show you many splendid things.
I'll go with you, Marie responded. But it mustn't be very far, or for very long.
That, explained Nutcracker, is why we will take the nearest path. Chapter 4, The Kingdom of Toys. The Nutcracker Prince led Marie down the hallway to the old wardrobe that held the family's winter coats. He helped Marie clamber up into the wardrobe, which was remarkably larger than she remembered, and then used a ladder to reach one of the sleeves of her father's fox fur. After you, dearest demoiselle, invited Nutcracker, and up Marie climbed, disappearing into the sleeve of her father's coat. When she emerged from what should have been the collar of the coat, Marie was stunned to see a land made of sweets and candies drenched in midday sun. Nutcracker led the way through a field of green sugar crystals and came to the Christmas forest, where fruits and candies hung from trees made of tinsel, and the breeze smelled of orange and chocolate. They passed rivers flowing with fruit juice, through a valley of giant gumdrops, to a lake with swans gliding on the milky water. Marie giggled with joy. It's the pond that Godfather made me. The swans on Almond Milk Lake eat nothing but marzipan, explained Nutcracker.
I knew it,
thought Marie. Farther down the path, a town of gingerbread shops and houses came into view.
That's Drosselmeyer's village, exclaimed Marie.
That's Gingerbread Home, said Nutcracker. The people there are mostly grouchy because they suffered terribly from toothaches. Beyond that lies Fudgeville, which belongs to the Chocolate King. But we don't have time to stop. There's someone who has asked to meet you. A time later, they came to a quiet grove of trees, and in the clearing stood the most beautiful woman Marie had ever seen, dressed in every shade of purple imaginable, covered in tiny sugar diamonds. Nutcracker bowed deeply.
My lady,
I present to you Demoiselle Stahlbaum. Marie, this is the Sugar Plum Fairy. Marie was awestruck. The Sugar Plum Fairy was the most graceful, powerful woman she had ever met, more radiant than any princess she had ever imagined. It is a pleasure to meet you, Marie, began the fairy. We owe you a great debt for saving our prince. With that, the Sugar Plum Fairy curtsied deeply to Marie. Marie was overwhelmed, and the Sugar Plum Fairy drew her close and wiped away her tears. Come with us to the capital. Now that our prince has broken the Mouse King's curse, he can be crowned king of the land of toys. They rode a walnut shell boat on a river flowing with rose water all the way to the capital, where Marie saw yet another familiar sight. The castle! It's the same one Godfather gave us! It even has knights at the gate! Crowds lined the road, bowing their heads as the Sugar Plum Fairy passed and cheering for the prince. In the great hall, with columns of licorice and windows of candied glass, the young prince introduced Marie to his sisters, the princesses, who Marie recognized as her dolls. No wonder they gave the Nutcracker their bed, thought Marie. They're his sisters. The Sugar Plum Fairy stood before the candy throne and clapped her hands. My prince, the people of your kingdom are eager to hear the tale of your struggle against the Mouse King. Step forward and recount your journey, and you shall be crowned king of the land of toys. Nutcracker began his tale of Christmas Eve and the terrible battle, and Marie sat, cozy on a cushion of cotton candy, listening. She enjoyed Nutcracker's retelling, but she was tired from her sleepless nights and long journey, and could feel herself drifting off to sleep. Chapter 5. The End. Marie woke in her sunlit bedroom to Mother's wake-up call. How can anyone sleep so long? Breakfast is getting cold. Oh, Mother, where is the prince? He took me to the most magical places last night. Marie told Mother in great detail the story of her journey through the Kingdom of Toys. Marie, you had a very long and lovely dream, but now it's time to wake up, warned Mother. But Marie insisted. She knew her adventures from the night before had been as real as the house she was standing in. Mother led Marie downstairs and took the Nutcracker out of the glass cabinet to prove he was nothing more than a doll. This upset poor Marie and brought tears to her eyes, but then she had an idea. She ran back to her room and retrieved the tiny crowns from her jewelry box. Mother was astonished. The golden crowns were as fine a treasure as she had ever seen. Mother and Father scolded Marie, demanding to know where she had gotten the golden crowns. But Marie could only tell them the truth, that they were the crowns of the defeated Mouse King given to her by the Nutcracker Prince, who was really Godfather Drosselmeyer's nephew. Drosselmeyer was called to the house to help clear up this whole mess and laughed heartily when he saw the crowns, explaining, "Those were a gift to Marie when she was 2. I used to wear them on my watch chain." Godfather sat down with Marie and explained sternly, "You must forget about these fantasies, and you must stop saying that the Nutcracker is my nephew. It will not do to have such a fine young lady speaking such nonsense." Marie was unable to speak about her marvelous adventures to anyone. Even her brother Fritz wouldn't believe her anymore. But she thought about them every single day, for she refused to ever forget the magical kingdom of toys and the Nutcracker Prince who took her there. A year later, it was Christmas Eve once again, and Marie was as excited as ever for the sweets and presents and festivities. When Godfather Drosselmeyer arrived for the party, he surprised everyone by bringing his young nephew with him. Marie turned bright red upon seeing the young man, but soon went back to the party and her new toys. A while later, when Marie and Drosselmeyer's nephew found themselves playing together, The young man leaned in and whispered to Marie,
Demoiselle Stahlbaum, do not think I have forgotten how you saved me from the Mouse King 1 year ago today, here in this very room. Won't you return to the Kingdom of Toys and share my crown?
If the stories are true, Marie is still queen of a land of tinsel forests and rock candy meadows. A land where you can find the most splendid and wondrous things, if only you have the right eyes to see them. Adapted from E.T.A. Hoffman's The Nutcracker by Emilio Casillas for Davis Arts Council's Active Pages Literature Program. Read by Carly Young. Audio recording, engineering, and design by Joe Killian. Davis Arts Council thanks our partners in everything we do. Layton City, First Community Bank, Discover Davis, Davis County, the Val A. and Edith D. Green Foundation, and LSI. To find out more about the arts programming provided by the Davis Arts Council, visit davisarts.org.